Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, holy night. The Lord has told us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen. I was talking to someone who said his pastor told him not to get the vaccination. And he started telling me about the type of people who made it and this and that. And he said, what do you think? I said, there are two ways the devil comes at you. If he can't take you down and out, he'll take you up and out, as long as he keeps you out. And I said, the quickest way for me to get you not to take something is simply to tell you it's going to kill you. And I said, but if every Christian doesn't get vaccinated, guess who the majority of people is that's going to die? It will be Christians. And I said, and who will be left to spread the gospel? No one. And I said, you're playing into the devil's hands. I said, because the God, in his word, even uses the unrighteous to save the righteous. I said, get vaccinated. And he said, I never looked at it like that before. So he uses the unrighteous, because he knows you're not going to do it, but he's going to use them in their wickedness in order to save the righteous. Now, yesterday we had an event, and I'm glad my brother mentioned it, because as I looked and thought about it and how it related to today's message, and at the end of the day, what happened was so many people came, over 200, and we gave bags, and in the bags there was a meal and a gift. And I have to say, the sisters outdid themselves. Listen, I have been to just about every event. It's been catered or whatever, but I had some of that meal when I went home. And you know what came to my mind? What the people said at the wedding, and when Christ turned the water into wine, they said, you saved the best for last. And I don't care what anyone says, when I was done, the container I had, you could have used again because it was so clean. Everything was perfectly cooked. And you know what I realized after watching, you know, Beat Bobby Flay and Cooked and Iron Chef with my wife and without her, I realized that you don't need sauce. You don't need gravy. You let the flavor and the food speak for itself. Amen. And any sauce or gravy they either have it at the side for you to dip in or as a drizzle on the plate. So sisters, you did well. But what I said that to say this, the finished product was the meal. But before that, they were here all week. They came in early that day. So we saw the meal. But what happened before the meal? Many times we don't see. Today is the Sunday, before Christmas. And this is the week leading into Christmas. But before Christmas, what happened? What happened? So I want us to think in accordance with the Word of God. And if I was to give my message a title, it would be called Before the Baby Came. Before the Baby Came. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1, the book of John chapter 1. Verses 1 to 14. Here in John's gospel, we learn of Jesus before he came to earth as a baby in a manger. Here we learn of what God was doing before Christmas. Read with me John chapter 1, verse 1 together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Verse 4. In him was life. Stop there. And the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend, overtake, or diminish it. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7, this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Stay with me. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And now we get to Christmas. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, we know it will not return unto you void. And as we would look at our Savior before he came in human form, enable us to understand not only who he is, but what we ought to do then in the light of who he is. Father, give to each person the portion that they need. And if there's anyone here, whether here physically or on Zoom, that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, we pray, oh God, that they will receive and accept him so that they too may be given the right to become a child of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. Now, you've heard it said over and over again by so many speakers. It was the Logos, the Logos. It's the Greek word that means word, but that word has another meaning. It also means reason or wisdom. So in the beginning, Jesus not only is the Word, but he is the wisdom of God existed. And we want to look at four things concerning this Jesus that the world whose birth is supposedly they're celebrating, but who really don't know him. The first thing is that Jesus is eternal. Jesus is eternal, and John wants you to know that, so he starts off the way Genesis does. He takes the Old Testament account of creation and puts it next to Jesus, so you can understand the relevance of creation to our Savior. And so he says, Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John comes along and says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Think about that. Beginning is used here as before time, not starting with time. We can't fully understand, we can't fully comprehend, but Jesus always existed. That's why the prophet Isaiah spoke under the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he had to say it this way, unto us a son is given, for the son was never born. He always existed. So he had to willingly come and give himself. One of the best ways to put this definition in perspective is to say it this way. There never was a time when Jesus was not. He always existed. He did not start in the womb of Mary. He has always been, and he will always be. Jesus described himself this way. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You know, there's a song that I love, and I heard some of us Thursday on Super Seniors' wonderful program, Mary, Did You Know? It's a contemporary song, but the words are so powerful. And there's a line there that says, Mary, did you know that when you kissed your baby's face, you kissed the face of God? Mary, did you know that that child that you delivered will one day deliver you? Jesus Christ existed in eternity because he is God and always will be God. Sometimes people ask, what differentiates a true Christian from a cultist? And I say this, the first sign of a cult is that they downgrade Jesus to be something less than God. You know, they'll say he was a prophet, a great man, a wonderful teacher, the second born of creation. But every cultic group denies the central fact of Scripture. He was with God and he was God. When we sing about that little baby on Christmas Day, we're singing about no less than God himself. Jesus was God before coming to earth. He was God in the 33 years he spent on earth, and he will always be God. If a person believes anything less than this concerning Jesus, guess what? You don't believe in the Jesus of Scripture. For Scripture says, not only was the Word with God, which speaks of it being distinct somehow, but the Word was God. So the Word was with God, but the Word is also God. Well, there's nothing strange about that. We know God is triune. We know he's Father, Son, and Spirit. We know the Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. The Spirit is not the Son. The Spirit is not the Father. But yet all three are God. And that triune stamp is everywhere in our creation. Our young adults have been going through that. We're even going to see where the stamp is in the zodiac signs. There's only 12. There has to be only 12. And the zodiac signs were never about you, as the Bible calls them, the Maseroth. They were all about God. And we're going to be going through that and seeing that and why they are necessary. You see, understand this. Anything that God has left to point you to himself, the devil's going to look to corrupt. And so what Christians do, they back away. But God made the constellations and he said it was good. So you need to get beyond what the devil did to corrupt it and find out what was God teaching me in those constellations. But that's another discussion. You'd have to join the class. Okay? So, Jesus is God. Now, he's also creator. Verses 2 to 3 says, he created everything, and there's nothing that exists that he didn't make. Now, many Christians are confused about this fact that Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. A full reading of Scripture, when we go back to Genesis 1, says that the Father, Son, and Spirit, they were all involved in creation. That's true. But somehow, Jesus took a center stage. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. As a matter of fact, when you go to Colossians 1, verses 16 to 17, very quickly it says, Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Everything has been created through him and for him, and he existed before anything else began, and he holds all creation together. Now, it's very important to understand that without Jesus, Christmas means nothing. For everything that consists came through Jesus. But not only is he creator, not only is he God, he is the illuminating word. Hallelujah! In him was life, and the life was, don't miss this, the light of men. He illuminates. He is the light that existed before. Do you know that light existed before the sun, moon, and stars? I hope you know that. When God said, let there be light, the sun, moon, and stars were not created yet. So what was the light that God was talking about? That's the sun. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus was necessary in creation because he took the organic earth, after the Spirit moved and energized it, and then the light went forth, which brought life to earth. The evolutionist trying to leave God out calls it the Big Bang. Okay? The work of the Holy Spirit and the light of our Savior working and infusing life into the earth. Because after that, you have the herbs, and God says, let it bring forth. You see, the earth is now infused with life. And so in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This great God, this eternal being, this creator of the universe, wants to introduce himself to teach us and every one of us that he brings light to the lives of men and women. In other words, he brings purpose. The whole purpose of Christmas is wrapped up in the fact that God wants to know you, to be in a relationship with you, to save you from your condition, and to be your companion for all eternity. Jesus' purpose for coming to earth is wearing your shoes today. I think you missed that. Jesus' purpose for coming to earth is you. It's all about you. And look at the power. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, the darkness just not only represents void, but it represents even the very power of Satan itself cannot overrule it. This word, this Jesus, this God is a force that cannot be defeated by anyone, anytime, any place. This word that lived among us has the power to withstand every attack that ever can come against you. I hear amen. I hear yes. But do you believe it? The next time you're attacked, are you going to remember it? Are you going to exercise that faith that says, though he slays me, I know I will, that my Redeemer liveth. When you get that word that you don't like from the doctor, what are you going to say? Yes, you'll be concerned, but don't remember you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you have the resources of heaven to call down the power of heaven. And you have every right to get on your knees and say, God, I don't understand it. God, I don't like it. God, I need you to do something. But God, help my unbelief at this time, that I can trust you fully regardless of the outcome. Because all things not only exist because of him, but all things consist through him. So if he doesn't take you over, he's going to take you through. This is not some helpless baby in the manger, you know. This is the power of God. The passion. What was his passion, his purpose? It's hard for me to understand that the God of glory wants to come down, who lives in heaven where there's no sin, and wants to come down into the presence of sin. The only reason that he did this was because of his love. Ephesians 1:4 says, long before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ, what? To be holy and without blame before him in love. In other words, God loved you before you even existed. Wow. Think about that. Before you were you, God loved you. That's what makes abortion wrong. Before the machines can detect your heartbeat, before anything, the light of life, God loves you. And as the psalmist says, he saw every part of you complete even before they were formed. Think about that. God loved me. God loved you before you were you. Now, most of us love after you are you, right? After you do something. After they see you. You know that God loved you even though he knew one day you might say his name in vain? And he still loves you? You know what Christmas tells me? I matter to God. I don't need Jesse Jackson to tell me I am somebody. I matter to God. He's also the inclusive word, because although the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him when he came, even his own people, and he was not accepted. And this is the verse that bothers me, verses 10 to 11, because God in the flesh willingly comes to earth for my benefit, for our benefit, and they refuse to acknowledge him and in fact reject him. And guess what? That is still true today. Some people, for whatever reason, will not accept God's great gift to them. And isn't that sad? That's like someone saying, "Brother Archie, I'm cold. So I go to a very expensive store, I buy you a coat, I give it to you, you hang it up in the closet, and you don't wear it. And you keep coming to me and saying, 'Brother Archie, I'm cold.'" Well, whose fault is that? Whose fault? Is that my fault? So why is it we blame God for the things going on in our world when God says, "The solution is here. I sent my son. But you're not accepting him." You know, we sometimes even do that as Christians when we get so despondent about a situation that we can't go on. And God is saying, "I sent my son so that he could take you through this. Why are you not utilizing him?" He's the inclusive word. Because the encouragement is, "But," oh, I like that, "but as many," but as many, but to all who believed him, who received him, to them he gave the right, the power to become children of God. And what he says, to those who believe in his name. And it says, who were born not of blood. You can't strut around and say, "My daddy, my great granddaddy, my great great granddaddy, my great 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 granddaddy. He was brethren, you know." It says here, not of blood. That can't give you salvation. What else? It says here, nor of the will of the flesh. It means you can't plan and say, "We're going to have a son or a daughter, and we're going to have them inherit the family business of preaching." You don't get to heaven that way. It doesn't matter that your daddy is a great televangelist and he's grooming you to take over the business. That's the will of flesh. Nor of the will of man. I'm Dr. So-and-so, and I have my theological PhD from Dallas Theological Seminary. And that's why you should hire me to be your pastor. No, no, no. Some man conferring a degree on you does not get you into heaven. I remember one time I went to a funeral at a very landmark, famous church. And they were giving tributes, and they had a high, high up pulpit here and another area down there. And some of you here were with me, and you heard this. And someone got up to give a tribute, and they turned around and said, "Can I come up there?" And the leading pastor who's in the news said to them, "If you're ordained, you can." And so he had to use the mic down there. That's what it means by the will of man. He says, that doesn't get you into heaven. And I got my confirmation that day, because when the same leading pastor, in talking about the one who died, says, I'm sure he's in heaven and I hope to be there. That's why the Bible says, woe unto you pastors who take the people astray. But of God, all who accept Christ are accepted by him. There are no hoops to jump through. All who accept Christ are born again. Why? Because God changes you from the inside out. A rebirth. But now we get to Christmas in verse 14, the incarnate word. And the word became flesh, hallelujah, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus became human like us. Jesus took upon himself human flesh. He was born in a manger. That's why Prophet Isaiah, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, said, not only is the son given, but the child is born. Jesus is not just a truth to believe in, he is a person to be experienced. And Jesus reveals God to us. How else can I know about God, who's spirit, unless there's something that I can connect to with my senses? Jesus says, here I am. Since you only believe what you see, Philip, Jesus has been nice being with you, and we know you have power, so somehow, some way, this God who is spiritual, the Father who is spiritual, show us the Father. Oh, Philip, you don't know what you're talking about. If you've seen me, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus, in coming to earth, came to show us the true nature of God. The Bible says, for in him did the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. So what's the conclusion? You see what God has done for us? He could have given up on us. He could have not redeemed us. He could have chosen otherwise. But in reality, you know what? He wouldn't choose any other way. Why? Because if he had done anything else, he would have gone against his own nature. Do you realize that? You see, God at his core is love. And he loves you no matter who you are and no matter what you've done. And he's done everything in his power to bring you back to him. So now it's up to you. What will you do with Jesus, this God in the flesh? Will you receive him? Or will you still just treat him as a song you bring out at a certain time of the year? A person that you relegate to some words on a card, or a day and an hour, hour and a half that you set aside each week, and then the rest of the week is all yours. This God who loved you before you were you? What are you going to do? What does he want from you? Well, God says, I gave you my son. I want you to give yourself to me. Isn't that amazing? That the only thing God wants for Christmas is me. Amen. How about you? Do you know Christ as Savior? Have you opened up your heart and allowed him to, I mean, really come in? Really and truly come in. Not to say the name of Jesus because, you know, every morning my father woke me up and made me read the Bible. Or I just feel it's something necessary because I've been taught. But to fully surrender to Jesus Christ simply because he is God. And he loved you so much that he came to this earth to identify with you and to do something about your condition before him, or as the word of God says, to reconcile you back to himself. My prayer is, if you're listening to this message and you don't know Christ as Savior, that you will surrender your heart to him. And if you do know Jesus Christ as Savior, examine how you're living and what you're doing in the light of who he is and what he's done for you. And make the necessary corrections and adjustments that's needed so that he can be glorified through your life. Let us close in prayer. Perhaps there's someone here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And you want to surrender your life to him. Right where you are, just put your hand up, put it down, say, Brother, pray with me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ today. Perhaps you're on Zoom. You can send something in the chat or raise your hand. Someone will see you. But you don't know Jesus as Savior. You've never received this true gift because you never fully understood what it took for God to get this gift to you on Christmas Day. Raise your hand up, put it down, say, pray with me. I want to be fully surrendered through Christ. Or perhaps you do know Jesus Christ as Savior, but you never saw him in this way, and the Spirit of God is speaking to you. And I want it in these closing moments for you to hush your hearts and submit your will to his. Repent, ask for forgiveness, turn to him, and recommit your life to Christ. As we would close in prayer, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your son. We thank you for the greatest gift that mankind was ever given, in that one day the eternal word, the incarnate word, the illuminating word, O God, left heaven's glory and came down to not only reveal God to us, but to satisfy the wrath of a holy God against sin. We thank you he went to the cross and endured the punishment of God in a way that we can't comprehend, for sin, the just dying for the unjust, our sins being laid upon the one who's sinless. We thank you that he willingly dismiss his spirit and die so that he may enter into the grave itself and get the keys of death and of hell. We thank you for his resurrection, which is our assurance that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for he rose for our justification. And we thank you that he is coming back once again. And yes, as the prophet Isaiah says, we will give him the frankincense. We will give him the gold. But there'll never, ever, ever be a gift of myrrh again, because he died once and once only forever for sin and satisfied God. Oh, Heavenly Father, enable all of us whose heads are bowed before you now, whether here physically or on Zoom, to get a glimpse, to comprehend in some small way the true meaning of Christmas, so that we may give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory now and forevermore. In the name of our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.